Well, greetings to everyone in Jesus' name this morning. It is a joy to be here with you this morning. I've been very blessed in the message, in the meeting so far, and the encouragement, thoughts, the opening message there. And I do bring you greetings from Zion Christian Fellowship in Iowa. And I want to bring the Lord's blessings to you all. Wasn't sure that I was going to make it. Yesterday I was sick in bed most of the day and thought I probably wouldn't feel well enough, but this morning I got up and was like, well, if it weren't for yesterday, I'd think I'm fine. So I'm here trusting the Lord, and it is a joy to be here and fellowship with you. I think of all the years we've come to Pennsylvania, this is the first time that my wife and I are here just to visit some folks. And been here a number of times, but always usually around some event. It'll be Bible school or meetings or wedding or something of that sort. But our primary purpose actually in coming out was to bring our daughter and son-in-law into Altoona there to meet a team. They were going to Bangladesh. They'll be there for 3 months. So we gave them transportation here and were there for the send-off for the team that's going there. And that was Wednesday night. They left early Thursday morning, and so we just traveled on in here for the weekend to visit. And like I said, it's a joy to be here. Well, this morning, I have a few thoughts to share on a topic that I've been reflecting on for a few months. And we sang this song here earlier, "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land." And I think it was probably the pilgrim aspect of this song that after the opening message there, but the first phrase there pertains to what I like to share. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. And I'd just like to consider what it means to be led by the Spirit of God. And that's the title of my message. Led by the Spirit of God. I'd like for you to turn for an opening passage to Romans chapter 8, verse 14. We're just kind of pulling this verse out of a larger context, of course. But Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Now that's a very comforting passage, being led by the Spirit of God. And I think it's our heart's desire to be led by the Spirit of God. For it says, they are the sons of God. But I think many times there is maybe a lack of understanding what it really means to be led by the Spirit of God. And I'd like to just speak about it in a practical way, what it really means, and take some of the mysticism and uncertainty out of this concept of being led by the Spirit of God. It probably comes from a burden on two directions. One is that young people growing in the faith and being established, that they might understand what it really means to be led by the Spirit of God. I don't think it's something that's only for those who have walked with the Lord for a long time. I think even youth, even those who are early in their faith can walk by the Spirit of God and be led by the Spirit. So just the desire to instruct and teach is one of the motivations for this topic. The second one is some of the error I see, and this is maybe often with older folks, not necessarily just young people, but older folks who will claim to be led by the Spirit of God. And they will say things like, well, the Lord told me to do thus and so I did it. And a little later in the conversation, they might say, well, this is what the Lord told me to do, so I made this choice. And you hear that frequently in their conversation. The Lord told me to, you know, this is what I should do, and this is where I should go. But you soon begin to discern that there's something wrong in this man or woman's life. There's things that just don't add up. Things that ought to be plain in the Scripture, they're not following. And yet they say so freely, oh, the Lord showed me to do this, and the Lord told me to do that. And well, none of us can just straight up say, oh, no, God didn't show you that. Because we don't know. We can't read their thoughts. We don't know what, you know, how the Lord guided them necessarily. But I do believe that a man's life will testify whether he's truly being led by God or not. And one of the things I have taken note of is that I think many times the men who are truly led of God will be the slowest to just be forward in saying so. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to say you're led by God and so on, but there's not a boasting about it. There's not trying to impress somebody in every conversation, in every aspect, that God showed me to do this, the Lord showed me to do that. And I'm particularly troubled when I see a family, and I've seen it more than once, a man who's kind of out there on his own. He's taken his family out. There's no church. There's no, you know, the family is struggling, and yet he will so freely say, oh, God showed me to do this, and the Lord showed me that. And I think that is very confusing, especially to youth that grow up in a household like that, when they see that some of the plain things of God's Word are ignored, and yet to claim that I'm being led by the Spirit of God. So, in a practical way, I'd like to look at this. What does it mean to be led by the Spirit of God? Well, I'm not sure that I'm fully organized here. I'll just go through this and some of the different points that I feel impressed to share. Let's consider the question of being perplexed. Is it possible for someone who is walking with God and being led by the Spirit of God to be perplexed? And I will say yes, I think that's possible. Let's look at the passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 through 10. Paul is addressing the Corinthians here, and he uses the term we in verse 8. We're going to read verse 7. But he's speaking about our Christian experience. He says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. So he uses the word perplexed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Now, I don't think that God's people are always perplexed, But I think there are times when we have situations that we are perplexed. And if Paul was perplexed, then surely I'm going to be perplexed sometimes. I don't think Paul took lightly being led by the Spirit. I think he was led by the Spirit. But there were also times when he was perplexed. But he did say, not in despair. And I think that's because we walk by faith, not by sight. And I think there are times of perplexity when we need to move ahead by faith and just take what God has showed us and find a way to move forward in Christ. And we'll talk about that a bit more later. But let's just understand that being perplexed does not mean that you are not being led by the Spirit of God. Let's talk about confusion. I think that's a little different than perplexed. God is not the author of confusion. And I don't think we should go down the path of confusion. There are people who are confused and they seem to constantly be in confusion. I don't think that's the will of God. I think God wants us to be stable, wants us to be led by His Spirit. But it's not wrong or a sign of spiritual immaturity if we have times of being perplexed. Let's also be humble enough to just acknowledge sometimes that we are perplexed and we're not sure what we should do. We don't have to boast of, you know, God showed me this, God showed me that, it was all of that. Let's look at a time when Paul was led by the Spirit in Acts chapter 16. Verse 6. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. And I think this is instructive here. I think Paul, first of all, had the commission from God to go and preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And if I just understand how this came about, I would say, first of all, going on that commission to go out and preach the gospel, he had a desire to go he said they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. How did that come about? Do you ever stop to ponder that? Did he hear a voice from heaven saying, you know, don't go there? I don't think so. No reason to think that he heard an audible voice. It may have been just an inward feeling of uneasiness, like it's not the place God wants us to go. And perhaps confirmed by others that were with him. And I'm speculating a bit there. It's not clearly said how this was, but he says after they came to Mysia, verse 7, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And again, it doesn't say that an angel of the Lord visually appeared to them and blocked their way. But somehow they were impressed of God that they should not go there. And then a vision appeared to him in the night. And this man of Macedonia made the appeal, come over into Macedonia and help us. And he gathered that this was the direction from the Lord that they should go there and preach the gospel. Well, some then latch onto this and say, well, you need to have some dream or some vision that this is the Lord's will for you to go here or there. But I don't really gather that that's how God works in every case, that He will then always give a vision or a dream. But I think they, resting in the providence of God, knowing it was God's will for them to go and labor, they yet, in their hearts, waited upon the Lord. And when the Spirit made it plain that they should not go here, they didn't go there, even if it would have been their first desire. But when they had something that they recognized as God's direction, then they moved ahead and went that way. So I think that's a practical example of how God led them. And I think it's in many ways how God leads us today. It's not by audible voices from heaven. It's not by angels appearing to speak to us. But even some of the circumstances we find ourselves in, and sometimes the impressions that God lays upon our mind and heart, we need to be sensitive and follow God's direction. But I would like to say that we don't want to always just follow our impressions. And right there is probably what is maybe a little perplexing to many. You know, how do I know that my impressions are from the Lord, or if this is just my own mind? Well, I'm not sure that I can define A, B, C. You know, this is always how you will know. But I do have a few principles here to lay out that we can tell whether we're actually being led by the Spirit of God. The first one I'd like to look at is looking at the character of God and what God is not. I came across this statement that God is not capricious. And maybe that's a word we don't use often, but capricious is the idea of being changeable at a whim, such as the breezes were capricious. They went here and they went there. And if we apply that to how a person is and acts, they are motivated by impulses and impressions, just first this way and then that way. But God is not capricious. God has a plan, and even though we sing the song, God leads in a mysterious way, His wonders to perform, there are things that we don't fully understand. But I don't believe that God just leads us first one way and then the other in unpredictable ways. Let me just try to put a practical illustration of that. I've lived there in Iowa most of my life. I've been a part of the fellowship since the beginning, a little over 20 years. Do you think that God would direct me to up and move my family next week? You know, just, well, God told me it's time to move, pack my bags and go. I don't think so. I'm not saying there couldn't be a circumstance where God might move quickly, but for a move of that gravity, it would take some time. You know, God is not a God of haste always. God is always on time, and certainly there are things we need to do quickly, but I don't think that's one of them. It might be a little different if there was persecution or something of that sort where you had to flee. But in a normal matter, of course, it would be something to give a lot of consideration before you just quickly change and move. Of course, there are many much lesser matters that we might make a decision much more quickly and be in the will of God. But remember that God is not capricious. He doesn't just send you winging off this way and then that way, and where everybody's wondering where is he going? What is his purpose in life? Or does he even have any stability? Led by the Spirit. Another principle that we need to consider deeply is the question of what is the purpose of the Holy Spirit? What is some of the major work of the Holy Spirit? And let's look what Jesus said in John chapter 16 and verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. I think we'll stop reading there. But the work of the Holy Spirit is to, he says here in verse 8, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And I would like to say this is one of the primary work of the Holy Spirit is for guiding us into truth and righteousness. That's not to say that God isn't concerned about our practical details of our life, but He will guide us in righteousness. And I think of the Psalm 23, where the shepherd will lead us in paths of righteousness. And I say that especially in contrast to perhaps the error that some fall into, and I'm referring to what I said earlier about saying, God led me here, God led me there, and this, and it's almost, you would get the impression that they're led by the Spirit is, it operates almost like they're rolling the dice. And if it's this way, then I'll do this. And if it's this way, I'll do this. And that's almost how they act as far as being led by the Spirit of God. There's little thought put into it. It doesn't make sense. It's just, well, God told me this, or God told me this. And I don't think that is God's heart at all about being led by the Spirit. It's not like rolling the dice. It has some thought into it and some wisdom. Yes. wisdom. Well, I'd like to look here at how I feel that God normally leads. And I want to use a little caution here because I know that there are times that God does lead in mysterious ways, things we can't quite explain. But on the other hand, I also want to take some of this mysticism and these impressions that we don't really understand it, because I think we can still take comfort, even when perplexed, that we are walking with God. It's important for us to walk with God, to have a sense, I believe, of God being with us in all of our ways, not just when we're praying in the morning, not just when we're at church, but as we go about our daily life. We should also be aware that God is with us, God is leading us, and walking in faith. So in practical matters now, I'm maybe narrowing this down to some not major life issues, though many of these principles apply, but just practical details of our life. Might be a business decision for men. It might be, you know, choices of how you guide your house and things. Things that we need to make choices on in a regular basis. How do we know that we're actually led by the Spirit of God? Well, the first step, I believe, is praying for God's leading and for wisdom. And I'd like to emphasize especially this wisdom, and let's look in James 1, 5 through 8, a very familiar passage about asking God for wisdom. Let's read in verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Well, he says we should ask for wisdom. And what is wisdom? Wisdom is a combination of knowledge, understanding, and then applying that in the proper way to our life or circumstance or our choice. Now, there's not a disconnect with our thinking and our understanding, and even our, shall I say, our logic, thinking through something, that is not disconnected from God's leading and His direction by the Spirit. When we're asking for wisdom, we're not asking for an audible voice from heaven to tell us what to do, are we? No. We're not asking for some angel to appear. We're asking God to give us wisdom, which is a combination of understanding, of knowledge, and of being able to apply that in a proper way to whatever decision we have, what's at hand. So there is not a disconnect from our thinking and our reasoning, and are comparing which is better this way or that way. And I think there could be many times we might think, okay, if I'm just using my thinking and my reasoning, well then I'm just getting myself in the way. I'm not being led by the Spirit of God. Well, I think there are boundaries on either side, but in a practical way, I think God usually expects us to use our thinking and our reasoning and to then apply it according to His principles and according even to the impressions that He gives us. But those impressions are often led by several things, and we're going to look at that here. But I would give the other side of it, that some people seem to think that a spontaneous expression is the clearest evidence that God is leading. And the more mystical or unexplained it is, the more proof it is that this must be from God. But I think that's an error. It's not. God is not capricious. God is not always working in the mystical and the unexplained. God works through wisdom. Most of the time, He works through wisdom. So we need to pray for it. And we need to expect that God will give us wisdom. Because in the end, we want to be assured that we are being led by the Spirit of God, that we're walking in His way. So the first step is pray for God's leading and for wisdom and expect that God will give it to you. The second principle I have then in this process is to apply biblical principles. We go to the Word and we discern what God might say to us through the Word. And again, I'm not looking at it in a mystical sense. I'm looking at the principles of God's Word, things that we should study and seek to apply to our everyday life. If it be a matter of business, there are principles concerning the handling of finances and money and things we could be involved in or as a Christian should not be involved in. All of those should be carefully checked with the Word of God and then followed. Yes. Don't ignore what God has plainly said in His Word and think that God is going to lead you some way that is contrary to His Word. And in this context, I'll just add here that a person's life needs to be in accordance with the Word of God. And if it's not, then it's very doubtful when he makes a claim that he's being led by the Spirit of God that it is actually God's Spirit that's leading him. For example, if a man quarrels and argues with his wife on a regular basis and yet says, well, the Lord showed me that I should start this business venture and the Lord showed me this, I say, wait a minute. You know, God plainly said that you are to love your wife and, you know, that arguing should be laid aside with the works of the flesh. That's what God plainly said. Why do we want to go to this mystical sense that somehow we think God showed you this or God showed you that if you're not willing to apply what God plainly said in His Word? And so I include that in this applying biblical principles. It needs to be applied in all of our life, not just in this particular question, but our life needs to be in line with God's Word. The third one I have then is use the wisdom God has given you to think through and consider the matter. You might get an impression. Well, maybe I should do this. Well, then, if you feel that that might be an impression from the Lord, well, then consider the matter through a bit. Does it line up with God's Word? Is this in line with the rest of what God is doing in my life? Is it, does it make sense? And No, we aren't entirely just led by our own thinking, but we are led by wisdom that God gives us. Let's not forget that God expects us to use wisdom in the choices that we make in life. The next principle I have is seek counsel from other men. Sometimes our wild ideas need to be tempered a little bit by others' reasonable thoughts. But counsel is very important. If we have godly brethren, sisters that we can go to and just discuss the matter and seek some counsel. That's particularly true the larger and more involved the question is. There are small matters, of course. We don't take every little thing necessarily to our brethren. But the greater the matter, the more quickly we should go and seek counsel. God often leads by godly counsel. And the proverb speaks to that many times. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And we pray for wisdom. Sometimes that wisdom comes from our brethren or sisters. And we can use that to gauge whether we're truly hearing from God. I wonder sometimes if, especially those kind of just winging it on their own and saying, well, God showed me this, God showed me that, and don't ever seek counsel from other men, is a bit of a sign of pride, and it would almost they have to maintain an impression of being spiritual. It wouldn't seem spiritual if they had to go and ask somebody for some help or guidance. But let's not be too proud to seek for counsel from others. And after we've taken all of these steps, there are times when we move ahead, but there are times when it's unclear enough that we simply need to wait on the Lord. And that means to just let the matter lay for a time until we have a clearer direction than what we have at present. There are times for that, especially if we have a lot of uncertainty about the matter. I think there should be peace in our heart about going ahead with something. That is a sign that God often usually gives, is that we have peace that this is the will of God. So if that's not there yet, wait on the Lord. Give it more time for prayer and consideration. And then there comes a time when we move ahead, trusting that God has led us to this decision and He will provide and lead through. And I know that we would probably always prefer that we have a definite, yes, this is God's will. We're just convinced of it beyond a doubt. And praise God, He often does give us that. But there are times, in my experience, where I don't have necessarily that overwhelming sense, and it may not be a great matter, but I do want to be in God's will, and I've considered the matter, and it seems like it's the right thing to do. And so at that point, I will often pray and just lay it before the Lord in kind of in this manner that, Lord, I've considered this, I've asked counsel, and it seems like this would be the right thing to do. That's my impression. I have a freedom to go ahead, Lord. And so that is what I plan to do. by your will and providence to just move ahead, because that is what the best I understand at this point. And just lay it before the Lord. Now, that gives God the liberty also to bring something across my path that closes the door or says, you know, no, this is not going to go forward. I think we need to be humble enough to accept those things too. But there is a time when we can move ahead, trusting that God is leading us, that this is an answer to our prayer for wisdom. We've gotten some confirmation from others perhaps, and we feel at rest in our own heart, and we can go ahead and say, yes, Lord, I'll walk forward by faith. And I'd like to emphasize this matter of walking by faith. If we were always fully assured that everything is a clear direction from God, where would faith come in? You know, and maybe this is, I hope I don't unsettle anyone, because I do believe we should have clear impressions from the Lord. But we do walk by faith and not by sight. And we can't always see what is ahead. And there are times when we just move ahead by faith, trusting that God has given us what we need to this point and that He's going to provide for us as we move ahead in this matter. And then pray and trust that God will continue to lead us and show us the way as we walk by faith. I'd like to read again back in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It says in verse 16 here that, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And this speaks of walking by faith, even when things don't go well, or when here particularly maybe he's speaking of persecution and affliction of that sort. But there are many times in our daily life where we have plans, we may even feel like this is the Lord's direction. But there are times when things don't go quite the way we had hoped, and we might have opposition. And I don't think that we should just drop everything at the first sign of opposition or of difficulty. Because again, remember, God doesn't just wing us one direction and then another, tossed here and there. And even if we're walking in God's will and following His direction, does not mean that it will go without any opposition or hindrance. Those things do come our way. And so, we do need to have the confidence that we are walking in the will of God, and then by faith we can even go through those hurdles, those oppositions, those difficulties. Because if we just fold up and quit at the first sign of difficulty, I'm afraid we're going to miss it many times. Because God will allow us to go through testings, even when we're walking in His will. Well, in conclusion, I'd just like to recap some of the things we looked at here. Being led by the Spirit of God means that we First of all, let God rule in our life in all of its ways. And then when we come to a point of decision on some matter, God wants us to pray for wisdom, and He expects us to use the wisdom that He gave us to consider the matter through and think about it, to seek for counsel, and then to move ahead by faith. And don't be swayed by this impression of great spirituality by those who will say, well, God showed me this, God showed me that. And it can be a bit intimidating because it has this great impression of being spiritual. But when you find that their life does not actually accord with the principles of God's Word, then something is missing. Something is missing. In my own experience, I can see clearly many times when God led me. But at the time I was going through, it was not that plain to me. And often, I would say most of the time, it's not till afterward, might be even some time later, that I begin to see how clearly God was leading through this matter. And that makes me very hesitant to just boast quickly that, oh, the Lord showed me this, or the Lord showed me that. I moved ahead by faith, and later I can testify, after the fruit has shown itself, then I can say, yes, now I see clearly God did lead me there. And it wasn't just my own impressions. It wasn't just, you know, I wasn't getting self in the way. God was leading me. And so I say be careful about boasting where God has led you. Let some time prove itself, whether it be of God or not. Well, may God bless you with that.
Thank you, Brother Larry. That was a blessed topic for all of us. And a verse that was always kind of sweet to me when I had to make choices and decisions and what to do and where to turn. Here's a verse in James 1:5. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. How many of us lack wisdom? I do continually. Let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to them. If you're led by the Spirit of God, my friends, you'll not be deceived by earth's make-believe. I've spent many years being deceived and listening to her silent cry. You won't live in that field if you're led by the Spirit of God. If you're led by the Spirit of God, you might be wondering this morning, well, where does God lead you? Well, in Psalms 23, it says, God leads us in the paths of righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness is certainly not doing right stuff. But righteousness is being right with God. If you're right with God, this word means something to you, and you're in it. If you're right with God, you don't continue or practice sin. If you're right with God, you have a prayer life. If you're right with God, you can live victoriously every day. That's what righteousness is. Righteousness is being right, not doing right. God leads us in paths of righteousness. That's where He leads us. And in Psalms 25, it says, God leads us in His truth. God leads us in His truth. In Psalms 94, it says that God's truth shall be our shield, our protector. Well, what is truth? What is truth, my friends? From Genesis through maps, this is truth. This is where you find truth. So once again, thank you. God bless you. It was a blessing this morning to kind of put us on the right track. And thank you for that. Okay, at this time, do we have any testimonies, confessions, blessings? Are you glad you were here today? Well, I'll tell you, I was glad. I'm very glad I was here today, because when I was listening to Brother Larry as he spoke about application, I began to think, Brother Ted, how can you apply it if you're not in it? Brother Ted, how can you apply it if you don't seek the one who gives you the wisdom to apply it? So it was such a blessing today. Is there somebody else? Okay, we have a couple brothers up here. Brother James.
Yeah, I was glad I was here today. I just want to thank you, Brother Larry, for bringing the topic on God's will. It's just been a while since I heard a message on that. And one point that I appreciate you bringing out is, in James there, it talks about praying for wisdom. You know, I feel like I pray for wisdom. But what's my expectation? When I ask God for wisdom, am I really asking for understanding and knowledge, or am I actually desiring to have direction in my life? And I just appreciate that clarification. Because if I really am asking God for direction, I need to come out and ask Him for direction, not just wisdom. I appreciate that point. Thanks.
Yes, I'm very glad to be here today, too. This is something that's laid in my heart much over the past many years, as I've seen so much shipwreck from families that just had a whim, it appeared, to move here or move there. No fellowship, or not even just not a stable job situation, but most of all, a stable church situation, and then lose out and go back where they came from. And I just feel like this is so true that we should, even like not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, so much more as you see the day approaching, and then to see people make a decision to home church and not assemble anymore when they have had many opportunities, and to have a blessed church life in the area, even where they live, but have decided, well, I don't agree with anyone and I don't fit in anywhere, and so I think we're just going to stay home. And I just think this is a very pertinent message for our day and our churches. Thank you, Brother Larry.
Okay, is there anybody else? Okay, we have one on the right, brother, right over there.
I am very blessed to be here this morning. I was not going to share, but I feel that if I won't, I have let an opportunity go. I had a phone call several days ago from an old friend of mine who is very, very heavy into the William Branham doctrine. And I covet wisdom. I covet godly counsel. I was very encouraged by Brother Mark's message to be stayed in the Word of God. I was encouraged by Sister Rachel's poem, Words of Kindness. I was encouraged and challenged by Brother Larry's message, seeking godly wisdom about not cutting off the phone call. My husband, James, did tell me that I am not allowed to let those phone calls come and just listen into them, but to have words that I need to cut it off. I don't want to cut off an opportunity where I can minister the right words, but I am seeking godly counsel and godly wisdom as how to go about it. I get those phone calls pretty regular. So if anyone has a word of wisdom, I covet to hear it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sister. Anybody else? Okay, we have one over here, brother.
Decision-making and direction in the life of a Christian person could be very difficult and complicated simply for the fact that you want to do the will of God. If you're a Christian, you want to do the will of God. And I don't remember the last time I heard somebody claim that God directly spoke to them regarding a decision or direction in life. So it rarely that God directly speaks to you. So that adds to the complexity of making decisions or directions. There's lots of passages in the Bible that help us make decisions and give us directions on how to go about making those decisions. But there is a verse in the Bible that is probably the best verse, actually two verses, when it comes to decision making or direction in life. And I've personally experienced this when I was a young single person seeking to get married. You know, I grew up in a good Christian family and I had all these wonderful ideas of a good wife and how to go about it. But it just wasn't happening until the time that these two verses finally hit me. And God did a work in my life through these two verses. It's in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and maybe he shall direct thy paths. No, it's a promise in here. And it says, and he shall direct thy paths. Not a maybe, but he shall direct our paths. You know, it's only when you know, you will not always be in a place to seek others' counsel. You know, even in major decision making. You know, and sometimes people will tell you, I can't help you. But if you trust in the Lord, not with some of the heart, with all your heart, and if you don't lean on your own understanding, and it doesn't stop there, it keeps going, and you have to in all your ways acknowledge him. And then he shall direct thy paths. You know, what a better way to set direction for your life or to, you know, make decisions than to trust the Lord with all your heart and then acknowledging him, you know, and then he does make a promise what he will do for you.
Amen. Amen. That's a good promise to stand on. Brother Nathan?
Yes, I appreciate the message very much. I think it's very balanced and it's the word of the Lord. I just this past week, I listened to a sermon from many years ago where someone was giving the account of how, as it was given, the Lord led a group of people out of communist Russia very miraculously and step by step, even an audible voice, if I remember correctly. And, you know, the way it was given, it was kind of given as, this is something we should be seeking for today. And I'm not here to say whether or not the account was accurate. I tend to believe it was, but what I have seen, that is the exception rather than the rule, that God works in that way. And I believe he may in specific circumstances, but I would agree that's not something we should be seeking after. The thing that I think does give the account some merit is that there was a fairly large group of people that all seemed to be hearing the same thing from the Lord, and I think that there is something that is important, that when we seek the will of God, that we get counsel and God does speak to our brothers. But I thought of the verses in Psalm 37 where it says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." And I just seen how God does lead many times, step by step, as we take a step in faith, and we trust in the Lord, as Brother Victor was saying. God directs us. And as we walk by faith, he leads us. And many times it may not seem miraculous, and yet when we look back over our lives, in many ways it is miraculous how God leads and directs.
Amen. Amen. Okay, anybody else?
Well, I guess I'll have to tell you what the Lord told me. The Lord told me to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's what the Lord told me. And all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. Amen. Well, if you don't go home today filled up, you've got a problem. Talk to one of the brothers. We'll pray with you. We'll visit with you. We'll share with you. But you should go home today with a full plate. Thanks again, brother. It's such a blessing.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.